Although art can happen anywhere, at any time, and can be created by anybody, the role of organized art within society can sometimes be a mystery to the general public. The question often arises, what has art done for me lately? There is, in fact, a profound impact that all of the arts have upon our communities and upon our lives. The Central Minnesota Arts Board is one organization dedicated to artists and the communities from which they come, and has been around for a couple of decades now. Their current programs and ideas are pretty exciting, and I talked on the phone with Central Minnesota Arts Board Executive Director Leslie Shoemaker recently about some of these topics. Welcome to KVSC, Leslie. Can you tell us what the Central Minnesota Arts Board does and how long it's been around?
Well, the Central Minnesota Arts Board has been in existence for 30 years. We just surpassed our 30-year anniversary serving Benton, Sherburne, Stearns, and Wright counties as one of Minnesota's regional arts councils. There are 11 regional arts councils in the state. They were created in law along with the Minnesota State Arts Board, which is our state arts agency. And we are funded by the Minnesota Legislature. We are also funded by the McKnight Foundation. We are partners with McKnight to deliver services to individual artists, to arts organizations, to units of government and schools. We support school arts programming through capital grants. We provide grants and services that support arts events throughout our region, and really enjoy supporting the arts and enhancing arts throughout our area.
Some of the programs that you do support, could you maybe list some of those, some specific examples of some of the things you might bring into the schools?
Sure. First and foremost, I want to encourage individuals to go to our website, which is www.centralmnartsboard.org, because all of the opportunities that we provide are listed on the website. We have artist residencies, for example, which enhance the arts in education through supporting grants to schools and organizations to engage professional artists. A professional artist will come in and share their art as a curriculum to expose students to a variety of art experiences, a variety of art forms. For example, we had an artist that was an African drummer, and he would bring his African drumming into the school and talk to the children about why drumming is so important in African culture. The students would build a drum. They would paint their, they would select African symbols to paint around the drum, and so it would be a cultural learning experience. And then at the end of their experience with this artist, they would have a community event where the whole community would be invited in to listen to a concert where they would play their drums. It was a very exciting experience, and it engaged students at a completely different level. It was a cultural and social studies learning. It would be embedded in the curriculum for those learning areas, and the student would never forget it because it was engaging a certain portion of their brain that really engaged them and allowed them to participate in that learning experience. And that's what the arts do for children as they're learning skills and gaining new knowledge. The arts engages their creative center of their brain. I've heard of children that are going into adulthood keeping their drums. This has been going on for many years in our schools, and we've been supporting given supportive grants to allow this to be brought into the schools, and they keep their drums forever. It's a very important and very memorable occasion for them.
Yeah, I've experienced one of his workshops before, and it is truly a remarkable thing. It's very much storytelling. It's why is the drum important? Why, and you know, that ties back into, well, all of the arts in general.
It does. It develops relationships. It develops understanding. It It embeds that learning in their memory in a different way, and that's why the arts are so important and so integral to a child's learning experience. We also have a new opportunity. We have student mentorships. So a student that has been displaying strong talent in a certain art area can engage an artist in a mentorship, and we will support a grant to bring them together and allow that mentor to advance the skills of the student. We also have high school scholarships. Any graduating senior that intends to go into college and have an arts major, they are eligible, if they live in Benton, Sherburn, Stearns, or Wright, they're eligible to apply for a high school scholarship of $2,000 and to continue their arts education. And once they go through a year of college, if they decide to continue to major in that art, they can apply for a renewal grant for up to 3 years. A tremendous opportunity to support the arts learning in a continuum. We have an artist registry where artists in our communities can register themselves and their art form and be on our website. And then we promote that to bring attention to other art enthusiasts or people looking for artists or educators looking for an artist to bring into the classroom. We have an inventory of artists that would be available to play that role.
Yeah, and it is more than just education as well. You know, partnering with schools, that's, you know, that is certainly a wonderful thing, planning for the future. But then there are also like some public art events that you guys are assisting with, and just partnering with communities in general to bring art into the public.
Absolutely. We help support arts art shows. We work with Visual Arts Minnesota. We work with the Paramount to connect artists and educators. We support events that occur in the Visual Arts Center. We support community events that bring cultural, that bridge cultural understanding and bring people together to enjoy art, make art, sell art. We also support capital grants to support the arts curriculum within a school. We have matching grants to assist with purchasing band equipment or kilns or photography equipment or potter's wheels, so that they can continue that programming and that opportunity for their students. Our programs are vast. We invest these funds in every single corner of the state through the 11 regional arts councils. Every single person in the state of Minnesota has an opportunity available to them within a regional arts council.
Speaking of statewide events, can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming Arts Advocacy Day?
Every year, Minnesota Citizens for the Arts, which is our statewide arts advocacy organization that connects people throughout the state that are interested in the arts, involved in the arts, supporters of the arts, they bring them together for one day at the Minnesota Capitol, where we go and meet with our legislators, talk about the importance of the arts, and make sure that our legislators know that the arts are important to the quality of life here in Minnesota. And there's been up to 1,000 people that have come from all areas of the state. We meet at the History Center. This year it's Tuesday, March 2nd. We meet at the History Center in St. Paul. We have a rally that starts at 8:30 that identifies the message for the day. We head over to the Capitol, and our meetings with our legislators begin around 10 a.m., and they go through no later than 1 p.m., and then we all head back to our homes. But we want to let legislators know that the arts are a billion-dollar business in the state of Minnesota. For every $1 that the state has invested in the arts, $11 comes back in revenue that invests in our economy in the state of Minnesota. That's a substantial impact to economic activity that happens. When an arts event is going on at the Paramount, those restaurants around the Paramount get a lot of activity. They get a lot of customers that come in eating dinner before the event starts, purchasing goods and services in the surrounding area, and that causes has a positive impact on our economy.
I think that's, you know, one of the most important things that people overlook when it comes to art is how it can be a community event. You know, people will say, hey, what has art done for me lately? Well, what has it done for you lately? You've got form and function working together to create your world.
Well, the art is the glue that keeps everything together, and it is unfortunate that it seems to be taken for granted or unappreciated for what it does for society, for the quality of life. There isn't anything that art hasn't touched. If you're looking at a streetscape, an architectural design, there has been an artistic element to that streetscape or that garden, that park, and then there's the obvious, the paintings on the wall, the interior design of a building, the photography that people like to enjoy. Art is everywhere, and we need to take some time to just step back and really examine the stuff, the things around us on a day-to-day basis, and identify how art has played a role, how creativity has touched our lives. Every single day, we can identify ways, and the creative class of jobs are booming right now. The CEO of General Motors indicated that they're in the arts and entertainment business. Now, a car maker, you wouldn't think of them as an arts business, but we as a society are looking at our products differently. We need to be entertained by them. We need to have a visual positive, a good feeling about even the vehicles that we drive, and there's an artistic element to that. The CEO of Procter & Gamble, he said, it's all about the arts. And he, you know, how can a soap maker, how can a company that produces deodorants and toiletries think about the art? Well, they're hiring creative people because when a consumer goes into a store and they're looking at the products, they have so much to choose from. They gravitate towards the things they are attracted to. So having a creative element in those positions that are designing those containers, that are producing the marketing plan for those products is critical. So it's so important that we have our children exposed to the arts at a young age so that creative portion of their brain can be developed and nurtured and allowed to develop. And unfortunately, in too many cases, the arts are being cut, or the arts are being eliminated in a way because there's no accountability in our schools, and frankly, the schools are facing such dire situations with the funding that they have available and the need that's inside of the school. And arts, people have the wrong impression that the arts can be eliminated. It is one of the key and most important pieces of curriculum that can be intertwined into every art area, every area of learning, social, math, English. The arts can be a component of every area of learning. And the example that I used about the drumming, well, that was a social and cultural experience, but the arts came in and allowed their learning and retention from that learning experience to be at a higher level. The arts can do many things. I could go on and on and on. Arts and therapy. Art has brought therapeutic results to Alzheimer's patients, where their lack of focus has diminished. They can create paintings or products or ceramics, and there's joy on their face for the first time in a long time. The arts are critical to our well-being as a society.
Yeah, a lot of people will think that the arts are a luxury, but it is, in fact, the method of which that, you know, people use to step up within society.
Well, in Europe, Jeff, in Europe, artists are put up on a pedestal. They are a part of the decision-making team. The Europeans understand that creative, that mind that was capable of being creative to create this painting or this sculpture, also can look creatively upon solving problems. And, you know, that is another skill that is developed from exposing students to art. When you're using the right side of your brain and you are in your creative mode, you are also able to work out those problems and think creatively in trying to solve many things. Roads, buildings, our infrastructure is important to invest in, our bridges, but what we have to do as us, we have to make sure that we have a well-rounded approach to the needs in our community. Or should the roads and the bridges and our health and human services budget be cut and not the arts? Absolutely not. I think we need to go, when we're talking about balancing the budget and addressing our current deficit in our state, we need to go across the whole budget and look at how we can reduce it equally. And that's part of our message on Tuesday, is that, you know, we understand as an organization or a group of organizations that are a part of the state budget that we need to participate in balancing this budget, and we need to make sacrifices just like everyone else. And one of our messages is that we just don't feel that the whole budget should be balanced on the backs of any one area. And we're, of course, representing the arts. It's really important to maintain that investment and that commitment to the arts and to all the other areas of government, because it equates into our quality of life here in Minnesota. We have enjoyed many years of investing in people and making sure that each individual matters. And, you know, we want to continue that trend and support one another in that effort.
Well, as for the Arts Advocacy Day, to go down to the Capitol, are you guys providing a little bit of transportation?
We are. We have a transportation opportunity, and the Central Minnesota Arts Board is chartering a bus. There's a small fee to ride the bus. It's $15. We're going to take a group down on Tuesday morning, and we do ask that people sign up in advance. We have about 10 seats still available. If people want to sign up by the end of the day on Monday, we are going to leave the East Side Cub, now cash-wise, parking lot at 6:30 in the morning and head down to the Capitol. We're picking people up in Monticello as well. at the Cub there. And then going to the History Center, registration and rally is at 8:30. And then we'll go to our appointments with our legislators. And if it's a first time for anyone, they don't have to worry, because there's a lot of hand-holding throughout the whole process. Every single group has a team leader who's well-versed in how to meet with the legislators, where to go, what to say, and it's a wonderful opportunity to learn more about our government and get a chance to meet one-on-one with your elected official. So certainly, if people are interested in signing up for the bus, call 320-968-4290 before 5 p.m. on Monday, and we'll put your name down if we have room, and expect to join us at the Cub East, cash-wise, East at 6:30 in the morning.
And one more thing I was wanting to touch base on as well, kind of a budget thing, but kind of not, is the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Could you give us a little history about that, where it came from, and what exactly is it doing? Because it's a little bit different than the state budget.
It is. People may recall in November of 2008, Minnesotans had an opportunity to vote on the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment, which asked voters whether or not they wanted to increase their sales tax by 0.375%, invest that money into clean water, environmental protections, parks and trails, and arts and culture. And the majority of the citizens said yes, and in July of 2009, that 0.375% was added to our sales tax, and now the Regional Arts Councils and Minnesota State Arts Board are receiving a portion of that 19.7% of those funds that we are now re-granting and investing throughout the state in arts opportunities and arts learning and cultural heritage statewide. It's a fantastic opportunity for our state, and we're very proud and honored to have been selected as the system to appropriate these funds. So it's pretty exciting to see the impact that it's having.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's having an impact all over the place, and. Actually, if you think about it, the math on that, 0.375%, that's actually less than a penny on a dollar. It'd probably take you about, $2.50 to get a penny out of that. nonetheless, there are a lot of organizations getting funding for new programming. Like KVSC is one of them. We're able to produce a lot more of some new programming through this, as well as there are a lot of other organizations that are as well, like the public libraries, the Minnesota Historical Society. And, you said, though, that a majority of this funding is actually going towards outdoors programming.
33% of it is going to clean up our waters. 33% of it is going to environmental protections, our natural heritage. Right now, development is encroaching on wildlife habitat, and actually that was the impetus behind the original effort, which was over a decade ago in the legislature, when some of the hunting and angling groups came forth and said, Minnesota is cutting the budget on environmental protections, and our water is starting to suffer. Our tourism is one of Minnesota's number one industries. We rely on tourists to support our state and bring revenue into our state. Our waters were starting to become polluted. Our fish were suffering. Our hunting is in the Minnesota Constitution as a right, and we feel strongly about that. And habitat was diminishing due to encroaching development, And so these concerns were brought to the legislature by grassroots citizens that said, we want some dedicated funding to address some of these things. And it became a piece of legislation because those hunters and anglers came forth and demanded it. And it took a decade for that to evolve and to pass the legislative process and to become a question on our ballot. It's a union between the most unusual groups, hunters, anglers, environmentalists, artists, all of these people united to support this particular effort, and now it's a reality. So it's taken a long time, and we take this very seriously, that these funds are invested in a responsible and impactful way. So everything that's done with these funds are transparent. There will be reports not only on the website for the Legislative Coordinating Commission, but we will have numerous other ways for the public to know exactly how all of this money is being invested on their behalf, and administrative expenses to invest these dollars is at a minimum. We're working very hard to make sure that it doesn't become a way to balance the budget and end up being sucked in and buried under administrative bureaucracy. This money is actually getting into the right places, and we're very proud of that.
Well, that's excellent. Is there anything else, Leslie, that you would want people to know about the Central Minnesota Arts Board?
One thing that I want to make sure people know is that we are located in Foley. We welcome people to stop in and see our facility, meet our staff, and become familiar with the services that we provide to the arts in the four counties of Benton, Sherburn, Stearns, and Wright. And soon we will be scheduling an open house, so stay tuned for that. It'll be sometime in April. Right now, the tentative date is the 16th and 17th. So I want people to be aware. They can also stay aware by signing up for our newsletter twice a month. We have an e-news letter that goes out to those that have signed up. So they can go to our website, www.centralmnartsboard.org, and see where to click to sign up for our newsletter and get on our in our database.
All right. And if they wanted to give you a call to find out about the Art Advocacy Day bus or, you know, just general information, what's your phone number again?
Our phone number here is 320-968-4290 or toll-free 866-345-7140.
All right. Well, thank you very much for chatting with us today,
thank
Leslie.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great talking with you. I'll look forward to continuing to chat on what's happening in the arts in the future.
Yep, and I'll see you on the bus on Tuesday.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jeff.
All righty. More information on the Central Minnesota Arts Board and all their programming can be found at their website at www.centralmnartsboard.org. or link to off of our website at kvsc.org. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC News, a proud member of Independent Public Radio.